7-minute diatribe about the persecution of InfoWars. This is emblematic of what these people do to everybody. What they want to do to you, they got to get through me to get to you. And Trump is overall standing up against the globalists for us. That's why it's so paradoxical. Because I morally have a responsibility when we're being gaslit to say this is BS, so do you. And you overwhelmingly are on the same page with me. But I really thought about it a lot. And I'm only going to budget, after today, 30 minutes a day on this scandal. And it's going to be huge and it's going to get horrible. But I'm going to cover the good stuff happening and the other things that are dangerous and the things we can do. I am, after today, unless I do a special show here and there, I am not going to sit here and harp on this. And it's not because Trump said stop covering it. That makes everybody cover it more, which is insane. So I'm not doing it so that I'm not excommunicated. I'm doing it because I've really thought about it, and I think it's the right thing to do to not make it the only central issue. Trump is right about that. He seems to be more articulate about that. And of course it's true they had control of the file. Of course they'd only put BS in there. People always act like government files are like come out of Jesus' mouth or something. They're the worst stuff out there. The Warren Commission, I mean, the 9/11 Commission. I mean, Comprende? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So Jay, Paul, Willie, Mike, Eben, Larry, Robbie, Matthew, Uriah, and others. We're going to take your calls. There's a bunch of clips of Trump getting all angry again. And the good news, John Solomon saying he is going to appoint a special prosecutor. Trump told him that. We broke that, by the way. I told you I called Justice Department sources, and they said, no, he says he's doing it, and we're looking for who it's going to be right now. So that's coming up. Also have a correction to make, and I'll do that later in the hour. We make mistakes. We want to own up to it. That was part of the calls I got from Trump land today on my comments on Sergio Gore. And Raiklin now has retracted what he was saying. He's a good guy overall, so am I. We're just trying to make some reason out of the bad stuff we see and saying, okay, well, is it Sergio Gore? But I mean, General Flynn says he's the best. MTG called me. He's the best. Those people are the best. I mean, I don't just look at what they do. I can pick their spirit up. I mean, I'm just, and then I got some other calls, people I know very, very well, high up in the Trump administration. And they said, this is all BS. And then I was given all the information that none of it's true. And that it's carefully planted deep state disinformation. And I'll take it from Flynn and I'll take it from MTG. So, I mean, that was enough, but I got filled in. I can't tell you some of what I was told by some other folks, but the plot thickens, as they say. And there's something rotten in the state of Denmark, but it's not Sergio Gore. So I don't really want to apologize for what me and Ivan Raiklin said here, because we didn't really say he is the devil. I said it looks like he's a menace, so I apologize for that. It was too much, and it was wrong. When I'm wrong, I am the first to admit it, and I am wrong. He's pissed off a lot of people. Some people that aren't in the Doge orbit also had been critical of him and some things that went on. And so I was pissed off about that because I didn't want to get Elon driven out of the dream team. But then I got given information about the NASA guy that Elon recommended that I did not know, that is not known. And I cannot tell you what it is, but it comes directly from very high-level people. So I understand now. So that's kind of the retraction right there. But that's not enough of a retraction. So I'll spend at least 5 minutes later in the broadcast. And they were like, why don't you take down your interview with Raiklin? And I said, you know about the Streisand effect with Trump right now. And they go, oh, you're right. Yeah, you probably should. And I'm like, yeah, just I'll do the retraction. I'll post it under the deal. And, you know, what Sergio Gore's done speaks for itself. And I'm wrong, and so that's fine. I love to be wrong, so I'm rarely wrong. When I'm wrong, though, I'll tell you. 60 seconds, take your call, stay with us.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You did inform him that they're thinking about appointing a special counsel on this to take over this entire investigation.
Yeah, and he said, I think it's a good approach. Let's just do it. Let's get the trust of the American people. Let's get accountability, and then let's focus on the things that matter.
So he is he's on board with the situation of getting a special prosecutor. And having the Epstein situation put into that, so that can be formally looked
anything
at.
Anything legitimate that should be looked at.
And really in a criminal context.
He volunteered it, by the way, Steve. You know, I ask about the special, but he immediately volunteers, and then I follow up on it. But he immediately brings up Epstein. Like, just throw that in there. Let's get it all answered. I got nothing to hide. I want truth, and I want prosecutions, and I just want the justice system to take care of what needs to be taken care of. It was really a remarkable moment.
Yeah, yesterday morning when I talked to the Justice Department high-level people, and they said, no, Trump says he wants a special counsel. He's told us get one that's independent to investigate the whole fiasco, its handling, the whole thing, and release it to Congress and the public quickly. And I said, boy, I'm going to sleep good tonight. Trump is now not throwing a temper tantrum over the Democrats obviously having control of the file and being able to only leave in there doctored information they want. That's what they always do. Past behavior is the most indicative thing for future behavior. People are like, no, that's a Trump cover-up. No, they did have control of the file. That makes perfect sense. And that's why he's so pissed. So then stop beating up your constituents about the 180 and elaborate on it. Instead of, if you talk about this, I'm going to excommunicate you. Well, you're not the Pope, bro. I mean, you're not speaking from the throne ex cathedra. And plus, I'm not Catholic. So, I think of Catholics, it's just, give me a break. Anyone who disagrees with anything I say is banished. And I'm not saying Trump land is a cult. The Democrats are the cult of hating reason and logic and common sense. But when Trump starts behaving like that, it starts getting into cult territory. And I bet since I talked in the first hour and said I'm not in this cult, if that's what it's turning into, I bet there's already news articles about it. But I went on to say Trump is not a cult yet, but behavior like this starts going down that road. But I guarantee if it's not out now, it'll be out in the next hour. And it'll be Jones says he's left the Trump cult. Nope, never was in the cult. Not saying it's a cult, but this is starting to become cult-like language. Watch, it'll be those exact headlines. I just know how they operate. Because it's formulaic. These people are followers. These globalists are repeaters. They're minions. They have boilerplates. It's like TV dinners. There's only like 8 or 9 different things you can get. You got the turkey and gravy, the roast beef and gravy. You got the chicken tortellini. You've got the meatloaf. I mean, this is not a, I know a globalist thing when I see it. I know a talking point. It's not like going to grandma's and every dinner's different. And so that's their fault. They think I've got enough pull to turn people against Trump by misrepresenting what I've said. I'm trying to save Trump. All right, let me hit a few more of these clips from one of your calls. Multiple times this press conference when the Prime Minister of Bahrain, Trump says Pam Bondi can release any credible documents from the Epstein case. That's good. And he goes on to say, I lost a lot of faith in certain people because they got duped, by the Democrats. No, you guys did a 180 and then a 180 and then a 180 and then a 180 in the last 10 days. And it's bizarre and it's the worst way to handle this. And so he doesn't care how it looks. Maybe that is the 10D chest. Let me tell you, world leaders are scared of them. Because we've had nothing but politicians for 40 years that were controlled by globalists. We got a real president who's in charge. And that means when he makes mistakes, it's a big deal. When he makes good decisions, it's a big deal. I mean, that scares the whole globalist system. So I'm really happy about that. Man, I need Trump to succeed. His enemies are my enemies. But I don't claim to be Trump's consigliere, but I am kind of a consigliere to the public that respects what I say, and my record stands on its own, and I'm not going to sit there and give bad counsel to the public or Trump or anybody else. I will not do it. I can't do it. And again, I'm going to explain something to people, and I'm going to go to your calls. Integrity, in my experience, is not something you have. It's something you are. To me, courage is not, it's not this thing. You have courage. You are courage. It's not like I go, oh, I've got courage. No, it's that I have a mission, and I'm going to execute it, and I wish I had fear. Because I had fear till I was about 10 or 11 years old. You know, I'd hear trees on the windows, you know, in a thunderstorm at 2 a.m. after I'd watched The Thing, you know, across the street with, you know, the cool 16-year-old girl. And I'm waking up and the Labrador Retriever that was like 5, 6 years old that I loved sleeping at the end of the bed. And in the movie, the dogs, you know, are really the thing. And I'm like, is Max going to have tentacles shoot out of him? You know, that's like 8, 9, 10 years old. I was about 10, actually. She was literally babysitting me. I wasn't doing anything with her till later. I was about 13 then. But the point is that I'm literally looking at the dog thinking it's about to shoot tentacles out on me. And I remember like a few months just getting over that. And like the cat would be walking by and I was like, is the cat going to, you know, I remember like those bizarre, you know, crazy thoughts as a kid. That movie really got to me. Now I watch it. It's hilarious. You know, the head and the spider thing comes out. But that's about the last time I was afraid. When I'm looking at the Labrador Retriever going, is it an alien? Is it, you know, because it's so scary that, you know, that could, it really got to me. And since then, I've never had, I have not fear of failure. I have an anger of failure. I have a rage of failure. And that's where Trump is, but way worse. I mean, if I lived to 78 with him, I'd be way worse than him right now. Because old men just get where they don't give a, you know what. So I respect it. I understand it. But I've got to explain what it is. I'm going to stop now. It's just, this is dangerous, man. And he's going nowhere, Democrats. I would suggest you run up the white flag right now. I mean, this is out of control. Do not antagonize Trump. I mean, look how much I'm antagonizing him, trying to help him, for God's sakes. And he's specifically pissed off at me, I can tell you that. I've been told a lot. He's now calling me not the brave, incredible Texan, or people, men should be like you, we'd say. Thank you, Mr. President. I kind of am retarded. But not as retarded as you've been lately, buddy boy. So if you're looking for friends that are going to tell you what you want to hear, you go ahead. I'm sure there's plenty of those around you. It's not me. That ain't me. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. And baby, we ain't got nothing if we ain't free. Okay. Well, if you think what you've been doing is good, buddy, hey, everything you seem to have a Midas touch, maybe it's all going to work out. I sure hope so. I told you they were going to say you didn't get the uranium and keep beating the drums for war. You thought you were going to shut this down. Maybe you're going to be successful. I'm saying it's a gamble. I'm definitely not rooting for Trump's failure. Believe me. All right. Play the clips of him on Pam Bondi, and then we'll go to your calls. Here it is.
Yeah.
Will you ask Attorney General Pam Bondi to release more documents to finally put this controversy to bed?
Yeah, whatever's credible, she can release. If a document is credible, if a document's there that is credible, she can release. I think it's good. But it's just really, it's just a subject. He's dead. He's gone. And all it is the Republicans, certain Republicans got duped by the Democrats, and they're following a Democrat playbook. And no different than Russia, 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 and all the other hoaxes. They're started by the Democrats. And some Republicans, in this case, I was surprised, but they got duped.
But how come?
Mentioned past supporters when you were talking about the Epstein issue. Does that mean that you're effectively disowning any supporters who are now calling?
I lost a lot of faith in certain people, yeah. I've lost, because they got duped by the Democrats. The Democrats are good for nothing. They've done a terrible job. They almost destroyed our country.
No, Trump, we didn't get duped by them. You can't start getting on TV and saying, shut up about something. You notice at all your press conferences is the only question you get. I said that Monday. By the way, if I didn't say that, I'd have an IQ of about 50. A jellyfish has a higher IQ, in case you didn't know, than 50. Some of the 50 IQ can barely form words. It's a no-brainer, Trump, that you want this to go away because you know they've spiked the file. I believe it. That makes sense. God, it's totally intuitive. There it is. I'm bad for saying you should stop telling people to shut up. Again, you're 10 years old. Your parents are going to church. They say you don't have to go today. And they say, whatever you do, don't go look in the chest of drawers in front of the bed. My parents never did that. It's just hypothetical. Where are you going as soon as their car drives off? You're going to see what's in there. I mean, just this is sick. This is bizarre. And I will not take the blame, Trump, for what you're doing to yourself. So, I know you tried to take the alcohol away from your older brother, who was a great guy, who drank himself to death. Were you a bad person telling your brother he was killing himself? No. Your brother got mad at you. You talked about it. I am trying to get you to take the political gun out of your mouth. You've already blown both your feet off. And now you got it shoved in your mouth. I'm like, will you please take that out of your mouth? You're like, shut up. Don't talk about it. You have put the gun in your mouth and ours collectively. Stop it. Stop it. What? I get you've been harassed. I get they set it up. God, it's so obvious now. I know. I believe it. It's I know it's true. So stop. 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 For God's sakes, don't attack your constituents when they have morals and aren't robots. And don't get mad because the media misrepresents what your supporters said. Remember, they said you said Mexicans are all scum. There's no quote of that. You said that they said you said the KKK is a wonderful people. You never said that. You said they're horrible people. So how dare you, Trump? Seriously, I'll tell you your face. Hell, I'll get on the phone, call my ass. Many times I've missed the calls. Will you take a call to the President of the United States? Yeah. Problem is, it's always when I'm on air or asleep. Missed probably hundreds of calls from Trump. And I'll say, hey, man, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing, to you and us in the process. You expect me to sit here while you destroy yourself in front of us and sit there and, you know, you need to take a vacation or something. You need to lay off on whatever it is you're smoking because it ain't good. Mike in Pennsylvania, thanks for holding her on the air worldwide. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Alex, thank you so much for everything you do. I love your products. I've been listening to you for years. Met you at the 2016 inauguration. Listen, man, I totally understand you wanting to back off this. They're on you. You need the DOJ. Leave it up to Harrison. Leave it up to Owen. They got it, and they don't really get nearly the attention of the White House, I should say, as you do. Cover the latest news in the morning. Maybe 30 minutes is probably too long. Give it 5 or 10 minutes. Then if something happens during the day, bounce back to it. But there's so many things that are getting missed right now that people aren't reporting on because this is such a big deal. And I post on the Gateway Pundit. I assure you, man, people are not happy. I've never been downvoted more in my life. And I know there's a lot of influencers on there, you know, probably feds too. But just keep up what you're doing.
Let me ask you this. You're right for the Gateway Pundit, great organization, one of the best. Are you seeing overwhelmingly people are pissed off about this, how Trump's behaving?
Oh, 90%. 90%. Easily. I have, like I said, I've never gotten more, and it's always the same people. I've started to keep a little list of who these guys are saying the same things. Oh, there's never been evidence. You know, just the same with Israel stuff. Oh, Lord. It's overwhelming. You know, but you see the people that always post that have been there for, you know, years like I have. I post under Enough Already is my handle on it. Anyway, going back to the lies are just, it's one thing to lie if it can't be proven wrong. But when you lie about things that are absolutely false, I mean, first of all, Epstein was arrested, incarcerated, and murdered while Trump was president. Nobody seems to want to revisit that. In fact, O'Reilly tried to blame it on Obama.
Yeah, did you hear Trump earlier today? He said 3 years ago he killed himself. No, it was 5 and a half when you were president. Again, I'm watching this.
Well, and the other thing is the Biden autopsy. I mean, they've used this guy's autopsies for years to prosecute people. And now Kosh Patel claimed they never heard of it? I mean, it's...
No, the top... top coroner in the country says his neck was broken in 3 places, and we're told, we don't know who that guy is.
It's just fascinating. I just don't know.
Yeah, but you just said you agree with me we should stop because it's a diversion at the end of the day, and then you can't help it, though, because you're being lied to. It's like.
Well, I know, but you got two other great hosts. I watch all of them, and sometimes I have to catch you later in the day on your replay, but... Hey, you give me my ammunition, man. You load my gun every day, and I check your stuff. And you're the only one that'll actually show documents, declassified stuff. And I've got more interested in declassified stuff since watching you many years ago. That it's overwhelming, just what doesn't get reported on.
Well, I just hope you know Trump tells John Solomon, yeah, we're doing a special prosecutor, which you know.
Well, here's the problem with that. We've all seen special prosecutors, and this has gotten so bad that will it even be trusted? I mean,
I'm not telling Trump to cover it up, but my God, if they're going to do it, shut up. That's where I'm really pissed. Like, I get it's intelligence and Mossad and CIA, and it's too dangerous, and I'm not even endorsing it, but I've told listeners, okay, we got bigger fish to fry, then shut up.
Well, yeah, and nobody was even talking about this until that released document, which, you know, nobody has denied being real. And it's really suspicious to me after Trump's Middle East visit, where Netanyahu wasn't involved and everything was going well and he was making buddies with everybody over there.
Oh, 100% Israel's behind this. And look, I appreciate your call and let you go. Thank you. It makes me sick to attack Israel. Okay, Israel's got all of its problems and all of its stuff that comes with power. With great power comes great responsibility. Power tends to corrupt, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Israel and its people are exceptional. Exceptionally good, exceptionally bad. And it makes me physically ill to have to go after Israel because of Netanyahu and how dangerous this is. It's not that I'm an Israel first person. I'm not against Israel. But why do you think Michael Savage said Netanyahu needs to go, this needs to stop? He's dialed into the top people in Israel. And they can see they are conjuring a golem. And it can get everybody killed. I'll put it to you this way. If Israel goes, we all go, there'll be a nuclear war. So I want Israel to be prosperous and all the rest of it. I want peace in the Middle East. But Israel and its lobby has run around and harassed even low-level talk show hosts. I mean, Nick Fuentes had 1,000. I saw his interview with Candace Owens breaking it down. His origins hit 1,000 viewers a night at the Daily Wire. He was, you know, super small potatoes, a talented guy, but 18,000 viewers a night. And they literally tried to beat him into Israel worship and turned him into what he is. And that's what I'm saying to the Jews. And it's not all the Jews, but it's the Jewish leadership. You run around trying to stop the next big pogrom, and then you accuse a bunch of people of being something they don't even know about, and then they go investigate this, and they go, well, okay, I'll put that uniform on. You put that uniform on me, I will become that. That's common sense. It's Streisand effect again. And I'm just sitting here watching the power trip of Netanyahu starting these wars. People go, oh, you're for the mullahs? No, obviously I'm not for them either. You know, you can say, I don't want to eat a maggot sandwich or a rotten meat sandwich. You don't have to choose a side in this, folks. Good God, I just got loaded phone lines. I just took one phone call. And I want to cover the plan to shut down InfoWars as well. But you know, I have a responsibility to fight on this hill and not pull any punches, not throw the fight. But I know on the other side, if they're successful shutting us down, that it will only make the broadcast even bigger. But I can't be Machiavelli because I'm not evil, even though I understand evil, and then throw the fight. But I also cannot spend all my time defending InfoWars because that's what they want me doing instead of covering news. You understand how that works? So it's very paradoxical right now. But just know this, the bad guys don't want this show on air. Share the live feed now at Real Alex Jones on X. Share the live feed from InfoWars.com/show. All right, Kirk Elliott's going to pop in on the economy, his view on Trump, great economist, great theologian. And I promise we're going to go to all your calls straight ahead. Stay with us. Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive Bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive Bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the Methylene Blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or Ultimate Life Force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the Ultimate Burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the Optimal Human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
I can't wait to hear what Dr. Kirk Elliott says. Great economist, great theologian, and a big sponsor, top gold and silver broker in North America because of the great quality. He is a sponsor, and of course, we'll plug that, but the main reason he's here is his great gravitas. Now we know why the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, is in a rush to reduce leverage requirements on banks this summer, and the push to get Jerome Powell to cut interest rates. First, they wanted him out. Now Trump says they don't. We've got so much to hit with Dr. Kirk Elliott the next 30 minutes, and I promise I'm going to every single caller that's on hold, so stay there. The toll-free number to join us is 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX. All right, Dr. Elliott, we haven't talked in a few weeks. I know you were on with Owen Friday. From your research view, just first, what do you make of the Epstein fiasco and all this flip-flopping by Trump and him saying any supporters that question this are idiots, but he supports a special counsel. That's now confirmed. I mean, you couldn't do something more destructive. I'm really concerned. I've been praying for Trump on air. I don't know your view on this. What is your view?
I'm concerned as well, but here's what I mean, you've got so many opposing stories, like 180 degrees opposite, right? And it just depends on the day that you're watching, which tells me that somebody's telling a lie. And we don't know who it is, right? But why I'm not too concerned about it is God always exposes the truth, right? The light can't be hidden in darkness forever, right? The light exposes the darkness. And so I think it's all going to be revealed pretty soon. I just hope and pray, Alex, that Trump knows what he's doing on this. He's listening to the right people and, you know, not listening to the voice of the devil, right? Who whispers into our ears all the time, causes us to do wrong things. And I just pray that he knows what he's doing and there's something legitimate behind this. But somebody's lying. But God exposes lies every single second of every single day. And how it's going to turn out. God will expose the lies, whoever is lying.
Well, I've researched, so there's no connection to Trump and the Epstein wrongdoing. So, but we know the Democrats had the files, and he's right. That obviously, they'd take anything bad about them out and add whatever they wanted in. That's their whole MO. So, I agree with that. It's the delivery of it, saying don't ask questions or you're bad. That's how you get people to ask questions. But shifting gears, the economy, your report card on how it's going, looks like we're winning, and so much is happening, and what's going on with the banks and the Treasury Secretary and the battle over Jerome Powell, the private Federal Reserve head.
Okay, so real quick, I want to talk about something that we talked about last week with Owen. I mean, this is very, very interesting. So there's a video that we watched last week of Bessent. We should actually watch it real quick. It's like 30 seconds, but something happened between then and now that actually confirms everything that we had predicted, Alex. It's like the stuff that you and I have talked about for the last 2 weeks actually coming true as of yesterday.
Okay, so well, I want to watch it. It's a minute 28. Here it is. Treasury Secretary.
In New York and on Wall Street is banking regulation. Let's talk about the supplemental leverage ratio, which seems like an obscure thing off to the side, but it has been the subject of much discussion. And it does, as I understand it, relate to U.S. treasuries and yields on U.S. treasuries, so that if major banks held more U.S. treasuries, it would bring yields down. You've said you're going to take more of an active role, as I understand it, with respect to some of that banking regulation. Where are we with that?
I think we are very close to moving the supplementary leverage ratio, SLR, there, that is moving along very quickly between the three banking regulators, the Fed, the OCC, and the FDIC. So I would think we could see something on that over the summer.
Over the summer. And knowing the markets as you do, would you anticipate that might have a significant material effect on Treasury yields?
Well, I think it could, because banks are being penalized for holding treasuries. You know, there's a large supplementary leverage charge. So I think for holding the risk-free asset, we can reduce that. And, you know, I've seen estimates that it could bring yields down by tens of basis points. Certainly during the COVID crisis, it was the temporarily taken off, and it had a big effect.
So why is this important? What does this really mean to the overall recovery we're trying to get going here?
Okay, so when you look back to 2008, 2009, everybody remembers what happened then. The stock markets collapsed 50%. The Dow came down 50%. S&P 500 came down 50%. It took people 5 years just to break even from that, right? So what happens prior to that, when we start heading into a banking crisis, Alex, banks start moving from investing into long-term bonds, which have a higher yield, to shorter-term notes, which are like 5 to 10 years, right, in that range. Well, then, right before a banking crisis happens, they move to T-bills, which are like 1 year or less duration, right? So what are they doing? They're sacrificing yield on long-term bonds to have something that can be immediately ditched, right? They have to have something that they can immediately get rid of. So when we look at what caused 2008, 2009, it was too much liquidity in the banks, right? This is where I think Jerome Powell is crazy, right? Because he's going back to the well of we're going to have this supplementary leverage ratio that we put into place after 2008, 2009 to have cash be the risk-free asset that actually protects and hedges as a reserve.
And that's why Warren Buffett is in the biggest cash position ever.
Yes. Yeah. So they kind of fixed sort of the 2008-2009 crisis with a Band-Aid saying, you've got to have reserves in cash to protect against your toxic assets, all the subprime lending. So what happens when banks have too much liquidity? They start doling it out, right? They start giving people loans who can't pay back their loans. This is what caused the subprime lending
crisis. So here's the bottom line. What's this move mean? Does it mean they're getting ready for a major banking crisis?
Yeah, a major banking crisis, because no longer is cash the risk-free asset. They're using treasuries, which the U.S. dollar is down 10% year-to-date, 6 months into the year. That don't tell me that losing 10% in 6 months is a risk-free asset. So they're saying you can use the dollar, which the BRICS nations are trying to destroy, to actually hedge your toxic assets. It's using like one bad asset to protect another one. So this is what Jerome Powell is wanting to do, right? So when you do this, you add all this money, all these treasuries in there. When the rest of the world doesn't want it, he's going to say, this is going to cause inflation. We have to raise interest rates to stop this, right? But so this is the battle that Trump and Jerome Powell are having. So when banks go into short-term T-bills, it signifies a crisis, a liquidity crisis at the banks. This is what we talked about last week with Owen. Guess what happened?
Well, you've been saying for over a year on the show that it was going to be a banking liquidity crisis, and so every time this happens, it means we're here. So what's the time frame?
Now, as of this morning, actually, the news came out that Wells Fargo had to borrow $200 billion in just the first quarter of this year to stave off illiquidity, right? $200 billion in just the first quarter. And now the bank stocks are starting to come tumbling down, as you can see on the screen there. It's like, okay, this is a problem. The banks are going to get hard. Why are they going to get hard? Because they're running out of liquidity. Oh, no wonder they're allowing U.S. treasuries to be the safe haven, even though they're not so safe, to protect their toxic assets. Alex, banks are about to kind of start unwinding, but these are big banks. Wells Fargo isn't small. Like Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic, Signature Bank, Credit Suisse, when they went under, those were regional banks. We're talking about a complete banking system failure when they have to change the rules of supplementary leverage ratios and say, yeah.
Wait, so talk to me like I'm 5 years old, Dr. Elliott. Spell it out. You're saying there's the major banking crisis you've been predicting. You were probably saying regional banks first. But now you're saying it's the big banks. What are you saying you believe is about to happen?
I think they're running out of money. And when you have toxic assets protecting other toxic assets, you're going to see other banks do what Wells Fargo had to do, borrow more money, or else they will fold. Right? This is the problem. And this is going to cause massive amounts of inflation, which is why Trump is trying to get Jerome Powell to stimulate the economy. And Jerome Powell won't. Why? Because whoever is in charge, when the economy starts to fail and there's a banking crisis, is going to get blamed for it. It's Jerome Powell's fault.
Well, that's right. The Democrats, the globalists have said they were going to do this, and they already tried to plunge the stock market with the shorts and the rest of it in March and April. It failed in May. So now the same private Federal Reserve, it's the same EU central bank. They gave them interest rate cuts. We don't get it. Trump was talking about replacing Powell because his term is up. Now he's not. Is that a negotiation? What are you hearing?
Well, I think it's a negotiation, you know, but I don't think Jerome Powell is going anywhere real soon, because I think that what we're seeing is there's massive globalist international banking pressure to keep our economy stagnant because Trump is going to get the blame for it. So this is probably going to go on for a little bit of time. Now, what is this going to do to the markets? The stock market is not going to do well. We're seeing what's happening in the banking sector, right? But what does do really well? Commodities, gold and silver, anything that's a tangible asset should do pretty well as you start to provide all this liquidity to basically stave off a banking failure. That's very inflationary, right? So here's where I see moving forward. You look at what's happening, what else is happening to the banks. in one day last week, Alex, in one day, the banks, the big major banks, shorted 483 million ounces of silver. To put that into perspective, that's 57% of all of the global mining production in a year they shorted in one day. There is not enough silver to cover the short positions. I think we're about to see a short squeeze in silver, along with all other prices starting to go up because of this liquidity that they're creating at the Fed. So how do you now then couple what Trump is doing with some of these commodity prices? So Trump has slapped a 50% tariff on copper. Okay, so what does that have to do with silver? What does that have to do with anything? There's very few silver mines that are just silver mines in the world. They're usually a byproduct of copper mining. So when you slap a 50% tariff on copper, the demand for copper is going to ultimately come down because it's so expensive, right? So that means the miners aren't going to mine as much, which means there's not going to be a lot of mining of silver either.
All right. So, I'm looking supply at all the news, and you said this over a year ago, and everything you said is tracked basically exactly. It's a little bit better than you said. This looks like a perfect storm for explosive silver prices.
Explosive. I mean, it went up $2 last week, right? We're seeing silver now starting to outperform gold, where the first part of this year it didn't. Gold was outperforming silver.
Wait, so you're
silver
saying we're right again?
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely. Wow. But I think this time where we were wrong is we very much underestimated where silver
was
going to go.
Well, you didn't do that a year ago at dinner at Luby Tortilla. But I remember the meeting, and I wrote some notes on it, which I wanted to see. I was sitting there writing on my phone. I looked it up the other day. You predicted by August of 2025, basically where silver is right now. But you said, I'm not going to tell the viewers that. I want to underpromise, overdeliver. So just cut that out. You're not guaranteeing this, but where do you see silver and gold in the next 6 months to a year?
Probably. Gold, I think, is right on track with what Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase is saying, 3,700 to 4,500 within the next 12 months. So what is silver going to do? Well, this is what we talked about at the Mexican restaurant last year, right? Which was, I think we're going to see 75 to 120 on silver within the next 12 months. Again, I'm not God. I don't control the markets. But what we're seeing right now, with these massive short positions that we're seeing on the bank, this is historical. I mean, nobody shorts 57% of all the global mining supply in one day without having a short squeeze that commences. Now, London, which is the largest vault in the world, the LBMA for gold and silver, they have like literally the lowest amount of free float silver in the history of tracking it. Right, which means free float is the amount of silver that's available for you and I to buy or for manufacturers to buy. They're running out.
It's actual physical inventory.
Physical inventory. See, the vaults have metals that they're storing for people like you and me if we were to store it there. That's not for sale. That's just somebody storing it there. The stuff that's actually for sale is called the free float. That's at the lowest point in the history of tracking available silver. So they're running out. COMEX is running out. You've got a short squeeze that it's about to happen. So you and I have talked about the gold to silver ratio for the last 2 years, Alex, and why we're allocated heavily into silver. It's for such a time as this.
Because underperforming according to what the market should be.
It's not underperforming. It's underpriced, right?
Well, I'm saying is it's underperforming according to what the markets should be. Obviously, yes. It's a top performer in investments, but I'm saying it's still underperforming of what it should be.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at where the ratio is today at about 86 to 1, it was 93 to 1 last week. So it's squishing down. It's squishing down. When we get to 60 to 1, Alex, well, let's say gold is at $3,700 an ounce. That puts silver at over 60, right? It's like, good grief. Well, what about when we get to 50 to 1 or 40 to 1? This is what puts silver over $100
an ounce. And people get confused why governments and institutions buy gold. It's the storage issue, folks. But for individuals, I don't think there's any doubt that silver is the way to go. But when do you think the ratio kicks in, tracking these lines, of where you use all the profit from silver to then go into gold?
Before the end of this year. I think we'll be able to do half of people's positions in a ratio trade before the end of this year. And then we'll probably in the first quarter do the second half of it, because you don't see when these markets start to move, Alex, let's use 2011 as the precedent. When we did our ratio trade then, it was the last time it was done. It was 2011. Silver went from 12 to $48 an ounce in 9 months. It went from 35 to 48 in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. So when it starts to move, it goes so quickly because there's an unraveling that starts to happen. And Alex, I think we're at the beginning stages of the unraveling right now as we speak. And so throughout history, people have looked at gold and silver as the safe haven, right? It's a protector, an insurance policy against a collapsing currency, which it always will be. And you looked at growth as second. But now the psyche of the American investor is looking at gold and silver, gold at all-time highs, silver outperforming. It's up like 40% year to date, close to it, halfway through the year. Now there's this fear of missing out. Narrative.
Absolutely.
Changes.
I mean, people think there's been a bull market so far. When the general public figures this out, and you've always said this, and I agree with you, Bitcoin and silver and gold go together. They're not exclusive. You see Bitcoin at all-time highs. How does all this tie together?
Well, when you see cryptocurrency moving up and gold and silver moving up, but at the same time, what does that tell you about our thinking as people?
We don't trust the system.
We don't trust the system. That's exactly right. People are wanting out of central banking as we know it, out of fiat-based money creation, out of Big Brother snooping on everything in their bank accounts.
And it's great,
right?
Folks. I'm all about Bitcoin, not the crap coins and stuff. And you need to be diversified. It's very common. Some people say, are you for Bitcoin or are you for gold and silver? No, you should have all of it.
Well, yeah. So when you look at, I don't like the meme coins, right? I don't. I think they're kind of meaningless. But when you look at the ones that actually have utility, like Solana, creating the basically conversions between fiat and digital, you look at Bitcoin, what does it do? It's a replacement for currency as we know it. You look at Ethereum, what does it do? It creates a playing field where you can build smart contracts on it. Same as XRP, same as Aave. So you look at some
it's
of these.
It's a good, safe mode of exchange.
Yeah, and they provide something of utility to create the economy moving forward. These are the ones that look really good, and these are the ones that are actually just screaming forward over the last couple of weeks. Now, just this week is crypto week in Congress, right? They're passing three bills that are going to reset the playing field moving forward. What is one thing that they've already done that's pretty significant, where the DeFi platforms don't have to provide 1099s anymore for crypto investments? All right, this is very bullish for cryptocurrency, right? But to me, this is the same mentality that's causing gold and silver to go up, as well as people want out of the system.
Yeah, so this isn't just the federal government saying crypto's okay. This is saying crypto's Wild West.
Yeah. And they're saying crypto is actually going to be the future of money.
Well, let's be clear. People say, oh, Trump's a crypto scammer. No, he's not. Crypto's taking over, just like New York was set up, not as a pirate base, but as a safe harbor for pirates. Trump is making us, by policy, the center of crypto world.
Yeah, which is so great for America. I mean, when he says he wants to make America great again, he's really doing it, Alex.
He's going against the globalists big time. We're almost out of time. I got to come back and take calls. Everybody's been so gracious to hold Austin, Matthew, Uriah, Larry, Evan, Willie, Paul, Nick. I'll go to you quickly. I'm sorry I've had to hold so long. But just do the pitch, because you are a big sponsor, the top, you know, almost five-star rated silver and gold broker. People don't call them. It sold some fake numismatic ripoff. It's whatever the wholesale cost of gold and silver is. They can sell it back for no cost. Nobody else big does that. That's why you're the top rated. It's hands down. It's why you're here. I can make five times the money if I scam people. I don't sleep at night with that kind of crap. I don't need that mojo. You're the place to go. You're a great sponsor. They can call the number. They can go and fill out the email form. The folks will call them back, kepm.com/gold. Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold. Go to the /gold, that we sent you so we get more support, 720-605-3900. Do the phone consultation, 720-605-3900. Either way, you're going to get a phone consultation. I can also roll over financial instruments very, very easy. Now is the time. And look, crypto goes up and down, but overall up over time. Gold and silver is going up like that. They're both, in my view, if it's, absolute real stuff, like getting real gold and silver from certified groups at wholesale. That's the sweetest, safest, in your hand control deal. That's what the institutions are doing. And they're also heavily in the Bitcoin. So that's another great move. But you got to get your gold and silver area covered right now. Give us a minute and a half pitch. People need to call you right now.
Yeah, whether you have an IRA, an old 401k, get physical gold and silver, but not all gold and silver is created equal, right? It's like bullion only. The way that we operate is 8% commission when you purchase, 0% when you liquidate, because we want you to get all of what you put in there to be yours, right? So that's why we don't take anything. But here's something that's alarming to me, Alex. It makes me sick to my stomach. I was looking at invoices from other companies, from our clients, from back when silver was $23, $24 an ounce, and you could get bullion for less than $30. Well, when silver gets to $70 an ounce, we would have doubled your position, doubled it. Going from $30 to $70 is doubling, right? More than that.
More than double.
But some of these clients were buying silver at $60 to $70 an ounce back then when it should have been under $30. When they get to $70 an ounce, they're breaking even. This is what disgusts me about this, because they're never going
to receive the high premiums. Listen to me carefully, listeners. There is almost no one selling you gold and silver at wholesale. No one reputable. It's all bait and switches. Gold and silver is great, but anything good has evil around it. Like a watering hole in the Sahara has got, lions and hyenas around it, because they know the gazelles are coming to drink. I will not steer you wrong. Kirk Elliott's the place to go. KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. It's real simple. Whatever wholesale is, that's what you get. You sell it back with no cost. Nobody's got that deal at his level. Kirk, God bless you, and we'll continue to speak to you. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah, I can lead a horse to water. I can't make you drink, folks. And I can make five times the money ripping you off. I won't do it. We have very small commissions on this because there's not a lot of profit, but it's okay.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.